If Murray has supported the show, I'd be less sick of podcasts.
The Blubbity Blah.
Sending out good vibes.
Good vibes. Utter deep breaths of deep gratitude and prayers for guidance and protection. And put on a didgeridoo and shamanic drumming track. Shivers or vibrations and stuff like that.
Okay, guys, welcome back to the Grab America Show. Coming at you this week with Master Nick Eagle. To talk about all sorts of crazy stuff. Dude was a gigolo, so I mean, it really is something else. It's a wild chat. I don't know. I was left.
You can't just mention gigolo. I mean, it's about him. Mention
gigolo right at the beginning. We got to
become enlightened.
Gigolo. I don't care about that. We got to get the listeners like, whoa, gigolo, what?
Okay, gigolo to guru, black belt, jujitsu, PhD philosophy, certified yoga meditation teacher, Reiki, Kundalini. Kundalini master. He's crafted a center for awakening out of the Arizona desert. I mean, I really do like what he's done in Sedona there. He's got UF home, so he's doing these CE5s. I mean, he's a master of everything. He's into everything. Eagle Vortex Awakening Sanctuary, an oasis where people can shed their old lives and start anew while following his golden laws of enlightenment. And there's a link here for his stuff in the show notes. And I've just lost it. It's Nick Eagle Mystic, I think. Eagle Nick. I deleted it by mistake there. So I got to go back into my old show notes here. I'll just get that so I can just finish off this impromptu bio here. So it's nickeaglemystic.com. Yep.
Master of all trades. It's really something. So, let us know what you think. Let us know what you think about Nick Eagle, because we're going to get to that a little bit later after some lazy rambling. If you want to skip that, there's always a timestamp in the show notes. You can just, boom, jump ahead and be at the interview and miss all the fun. Or you can hang out here with us for a little while. We do go through our lazy rambling. Some people say it's the best part of the show. And, away we go with it. So, yeah. Dude, I got to tell you. Have you ever see those, how the headlights on the old cars, when it's because they switched from glass to plastic, right? The really old ones were glass and they never got all shitty. But then they switched to the plastic ones and they just sort of degrade over time from the sun and the road and the whatever it is. And they get that sort of film on them. And mine even had a bunch of yellow on them, and it really starts to affect the.
And there's people that say, oh, you can wipe it all. You can't really clean it, can you?
Dude, I fixed all my headlights around here.
What?
It was a real problem on the wife's car. And the headlights for that thing, to get a new set, was like $800. Just for the, that doesn't even include, I don't know if it came with bulbs or not, but that's just for the two new headlights. So I was
wouldn't be bulbs. Bulbs are different.
Yeah, so I'm going to try it.
And, what'd you do? Was it Instagram or something that sold you?
No, mine was kind of fucked too. So I was like, well, the ones for my truck are like $150 and I can get a brand new set. So I was like, I'll practice on my truck. And if I fuck them up, I can just buy new ones for the truck and come up with a different plan for her car. So I bought a bunch of sanding discs and some polish. The sanding disc that you just hook into the cordless drill. And I just wet sanded it down.
Hang on a sec. Does it come with an attachment for the drill? Or no, it's for the cordless drill, not for a grinder. So it's not a sanding attachment for the grinder, for the drill.
It's a little thing that goes into the drill. And then.
Because we were using sanding disc attachments on a grinder for that church ceiling that I was working
on. Oh, yeah. It's kind of like that, probably, except. Well, Grindr has more a little chuck, but it just has like a thing that goes into a little thing that's almost like a grinder, but it's a little 3-inch disc with a little like Velcro on it.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
That you Velcro these pads.
Yeah, that's perfect on a little drill. That seems easier to use than a grinder for some reason.
Oh, yeah, I would say. And a grinder, the other thing about a grinder is it's way more RPMs. Like yeah. You could, it's fucking, yeah,
with a drill, you can kind of zzzz, you're not just like. So
yeah, because I think you only want like 1500 RPM for this kind of shit. I was looking at, and I'm like, I think a grinder is like 4000.
What kind of grit were you using?
I went to 500 to 800.
Whoa. You started at 500?
I started at 500. On one headlight, that was real bad. The one I did last after I got the hang of it, I might have started at 250 and then went to 5.8 and then 1500 and then
1500 grit. So yeah. You're talking like wet sanding, basically.
Wet sanding. I was wetting it. Yeah. I was wetting it and doing it right up to, I think I ended at 4000. And it didn't take long though. It took like, I want to say it's about 20 minutes a headlight, half hour if it's your first.
And all the grits, like, yeah.
Yeah, because each grit just takes you like 3 minutes. You're just going over this headlight quick. I mean, ideally, the first one sort of takes the longest because you really go on that one. It'll start off with like this yellow sort of foam coming off of it. And I think that's all the foggy and the UV, whatever that shit is. I think it's from the sun. But anyway, it starts off yellow and you just sand it. And as you get through the grits, it'll go from yellow to... Here, like you don't want to leave the 500 grit until it's not yellow anymore, until it's clear. And then you'll wash that headlight off and all the yellow shit and the cloudiness will be gone. But the whole thing will be cloudy now because it's like all scratched to shit.
So did you have to use a compound to?
I just used some polish.
You used the polish, yeah?
Yeah, polish. And then I put
the whole time on. Or just towards the end? Used just
the very last one. So after the 4000 grit, I wiped it all down, dried it really good, put a sponge on the end of the drill, and put polish all over the light, and then polished it.
The sponge. So that was the final thing, as you had to polish it. So yeah, was it even cloudy at 4000? Was it even cloudy at 4000?
Yeah, not
it
as
much. It did start to clear up. It did start to clear up.
Every time. It gets clearer every time you do it. And
but I always thought it was from the inside of the light. I always thought it was something that you couldn't even wipe off the outside, that it was all now on the inside.
It was just the light was shining so much. It just shined some. Fucked it up from just the light.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Or condensation or like whatever, you know. Yeah.
No, I grabbed it after like almost brand new. I mean, they're not brand new, but they're like, they might as well be brand new. If you really knew what you're doing and took your time, like you could make them look like brand new. I'm convinced.
Wow. Wow.
I'm just fucking around in my driveway. You know what I mean? And I managed to get them looking pretty. But my truck ones had like, it was almost like pitted and stuff on top. It was so fucked. I honestly couldn't believe it. In my truck, I just rushed through because I was just practicing. I did my truck in probably 10 minutes a headlight.
Well, just imagine all the dirt roads and all that stuff. I mean, I'm sure that starts.
Yeah, it made a huge difference. I was fucking shocked. Shocked at the difference. And I think that little hit with the polish and everything cost me like $27. It was either $27 or $37.
Where'd you get it?
Crappy Tire, I think.
Wow, really, eh?
Yeah.
That would just be a handy little tool to have for sanding stuff on a drill like that.
Yeah, I have a bunch of them now. And then on my truck, I didn't even bother masking my truck off. I don't give a fuck if I scratch the paint with the sanding, you know what I mean? But with the wife's car, you could put masking tape all around the light where you can't pop the hood and do all that. But dude, it made my lights twice as bright.
Really?
Wow, literally twice as bright. Yeah. I fucking shocked. Yeah, I finally replaced my shift cable too. I mean, I really want to, I would have been thinking about making a YouTube video about the fix that I came up with the tie wraps for that shift cable. Because
people need to.
First time it went, I was able to just sort of like just rig a tie wrap sort of around the whole thing because there was still some, like it would still kind of click on. There was at least when you pushed it down onto that little bulb, there was like a little click. But then after it went the last time, man, it was like, it was just like, ding, 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 like there was nothing left to hold it on there. And all the fixes were like, you get 4 or 5 shifts and then you're fucked. So I was like, I went out the first time I tried something and it was just like that. I got like 5, 6 shifts out of it and it busted. And then it's a pain because when it breaks, you're just stuck in whatever gear you're in.
So can you just explain what's the shift cable? It goes from the bottom of the shifter to the...
goes from the transmission to your like shifter on your steering wheel.
Yeah.
So when you like click that thing down, it's literally pulling on a cable that's connected to your transmission that's pulling that thing forward. So I mean, depending on... In Alberta, it's not bad, right? Because it's always pretty flat. So every time it happened, it's like, all right, I just have to pull off the road, put the e-brake on, and I could go under there and fix it. But it was like, it was always like a little precarious because it's like, because I rigged up a system with 3 tie wraps that worked. And then I got set, when I took it off, I was at 8,000 miles on this tie wrap of shift, hundreds of shifts, hundreds and hundreds of shifts. And I took it off. It was still working when I had it on there. My real concern was that it was just going to break at an inopportune time. Like if it comes off in the drive-through, dude, because here's the problem. Sometimes I don't have to shift in the drive-through, but my truck's so loud, sometimes they're like, can you shut it off? So then I got to go into park, shut off. So right there, what if that thing's broken and I go to put it in a park, it doesn't go into park. Now I got to put my e-brake on, crawl under my, shut my truck off. I'm crawling underneath the fucking thing, fucking around now in the drive-through. But the most precarious spot was it broke at the boat ramp once when I'm back in the boat in the water. So I'm in the boat and the wife's in the truck and she's like, it won't go into gear. So I got to like jump out of the boat into the water, line up with people, crawl under there, fucking snap this thing in. So anyway, I finally got that
thing. Physically snapping it in, then it's got to stay in that gear. So then you got to physically sort of get it into like third gear to get home kind of thing.
Well, the transmission will still do first, second, third on its own. So we're just talking like park, reverse.
Oh, drive. Oh, I see. Okay.
I mean, worst case scenario, you go under there, click that shit. I could just click it with my hand if I really needed to. But
So what did you, what was your fix then? A brand new cable or?
I bought a new cable.
Okay.
Eventually I bought a new cable because Dan was like, it's going to break at the worst time. And it was getting cold as shit. Lord Dan, I should say.
Why did you not have a cable to begin with? Why didn't you buy one?
Well, it just happened. And then I was just like, you know, I'm fucking busy, man. That's like you're ripping your steering column apart. And honestly, you got to go through the firewall now. All that shit is a pain in the ass.
Oh, my God.
It's not intimidating because it's not like impossible to do, but it's just like, it's always just sort of overwhelming. It's like, oh, God, that's a whole fucking production to fucking.
Well, you can't even time how long it's going to take. As long just to get into it.
Yeah, Napa wanted $380 plus like $80 delivery for this fucking cable. And I was just like, God damn. So I got the thing on Rock Auto for $109. But it took 3 weeks, I think, to get here. So that was part of the problem is then when I did order the thing, it took 3 weeks to get here. And then it honestly, dude, it just sat on the desk back here for like 3 weeks or a month because it was just like, it was working and I was hunting most days. So it's like, do I really want to rip the truck apart for worst case scenario? It could be a day or two, right? It wouldn't be the first time I ripped that truck apart and didn't have it going again the same day, which is a real pain right now. It's not.
How long did it take?
Took about an hour and a half.
That's it?
Yeah, everything went pretty well. I did have to stop several times, come in the house, watch a YouTube video on this or the end, or like I had one going that I found that was pretty good that I just watch and pause and go do that part. Then I got kind of jammed up where it wouldn't go into park, so I figured out how to adjust that cable. Came with this little adjuster thing in there that I had to figure out how to do. But I was probably in and out of there in an hour and a half, I'd say.
That's pretty good.
Not too bad. And the oil change, dude, I got that. So I ripped off my oil change, was done since. So when I text you to do the intro at 1, I hadn't started it yet. And then I was like, I got an hour and 10 minutes. So I was able to, because it's like the fourth one already. So I was able to just go out there. I want to say it took me 20 minutes to get that. Just oil filtered, drain the oil, put in the new stuff. Done deal. I bought a bunch of oil because it was on 2-for-1 at Canadian Tire. So I got so much fucking 15W40 here right now. It's crazy. Like probably almost 100 liters. I just save all it all too. What I do is I put the old oil into them fucking containers and I'm just saving it, man. I don't know that you'd ever want to put it back in there, but if you ever got into some crazy situation, you know, you might need to put it back in there. If you couldn't get the shit anymore, I got some old oil. I could, maybe you can like cover it somehow. But the main thing is it's flammable. So if you ever get in a survival situation or something like that, where you need to, or even around here, we
burn. You could probably drive Nick's truck with it too.
That's right. I mean, probably, but I think, I mean, around here, there's always some tons of deadfall to burn. So I think you mix that shit with diesel. Either way, I mean, it's a flammable, so I'm keeping it around. It seems like a silly thing to just go dump in to give to someone. I wonder what they do with it. Because there is a little thing at the dump. I could just go dump it in there.
Oh, do you have those at the dump? Yeah.
Man, I love my dump. I can just bring anything there.
Oh, yeah. No, that's amazing. I can't do it. I have to pay to get rid of a lot of stuff.
The only thing I got this huge treadmill here I want to bring there, but buddy's like, well, yeah, you could just bring it here. You got to get it in that bin, but we are not allowed to help you. So he's like, I can't help you. He's like, it's against the rules for us to.
It's against your OH&S. Like you can't.
Guarantee it's an OH&S thing for sure. We can't be liable for you helping buddy with his trash.
Another injury from somebody helping.
It's like that drivers don't unload bit from Seinfeld. Yeah. Back in the day. So unfortunately, we don't have any new supporters to mention this week.
Wow, that sucks.
Kind of a bummer. I mean, we do have our monthlies that have been around, some of them for years. We appreciate you guys. We love you guys, but no new monthlies, no one times. I mean, dire times. But do support the show. I mean, it's supposed to be a value for value deal here, where we just do it for free. And we ask you for money and you send it our way or however that works. But if you are getting some value from the show, you got to send some value back our way. Otherwise, one day you just go look for the show. It's not there because Graham and Darren had to go get other jobs. They had to go do other things to make ends meet. And it's not even, you know, we don't need a lot, but we need more. So grahamamerica.ca/support, sign up for a monthly, make a one-time donation. I mean, if we could get like 10 people a week for like 5 weeks to sign up for $5 a month, that'll make a huge difference in our goings on around here. Everything's getting more expensive. The StreamYard, the this, the that, everything, all that shit just, oh, we're going up, we're raising the price. Oh, we're raising the price. We never raise the price. We just do it for free. So support us if you can, grahamamerica.ca/support. The other thing you might want to do is there's some last minute spots available for this trip to the Azores with Randall Carlson, searching for Atlantis. There's the 6-day Tercera only option that got added to that. If you can't get away for the full 2 weeks, you can come for just a week. I think
it's the Middle Island. Is that the Middle Island then?
Middle Island would be like a Friday to Thursday, I think is what it is. The 7th to the 13th, it would be of November. So if that's something you're interested in, just want to do that. Or if you want to come do the whole thing, I think Randall Carlson was throwing around a coupon code. Randall C, all caps, for $1,000 off on that. So if that's something you're interested in, let us know. We'll sign up. Come hang out with us. It's going to be a wild time. I'll tell you that. It's like an all-star cast of people that we've traveled to a bunch of places with, some of the coolest people maybe in the world that you could come hang out with in the Azores. So contact at thecabin.com for that. The other thing I should say is I think we're down to 2 private rooms now for the solstice event next year. There's still plenty of camping. But there is only 2 of those private rooms.
That's at the Snake Mound?
That's at Serpent Mound? Serpent Mound in Ohio. I think it's in Peebles, Ohio. It's going to be a time we're there for the solstice. I don't have the dates in front of me right now, but they're there. And it is during that Friends of the Serpent Festival that they're having there. That'll be going on at the same time. I'm going to be presenting at the festival, so there'll be all sorts of fun stuff. Brad and Powell, of course, going to be there. And the exciting thing about this is it's sort of back to these ones that are way cheaper than the Randall Carlson ones or the Azores. I mean, you can get in there camping for under $1,000 and come hang out for the 4 days. So that's all inclusive, of course. So contact at thecabin.com. Check it out. Come hang out with us. I think I'm going goose hunting tomorrow. I'm going right after we're done our interview today to scout. I found probably 50,000 plus snow geese on the lake here. But some dude was hunting them, and it's always a game because they go into the field. So it's not just like hunting all the other stuff. I've got my spots I can go to. Even the ducks, when we hunt them on the water, we've got our spots we could go to. We know them all pretty well. But the geese just land in whatever fucking field they want. I mean, you can kind of like plan it by how far they are from water and stuff like that, but it's never the same. But I was able to contact a bunch of hunterites and get permission on a bunch of land. So I've got permission now where the geese are, where I seen them the other day. So I'm going to go look for them tonight. Assuming I could find them, we'll go out there at like 4 a.m. tomorrow, set up 250 decoys, and hopefully shoot a shitload of geese. I'm getting quite the Rolodex of farmers and hutterites.
Yeah, that's good.
The hutterites seem to really hate the geese, but he's like, the only, you got to kill them all. He's like, kill all the fucking geese. Get them the fuck out of here.
Why do they hate him so much?
He don't swear, actually. He didn't swear at all that one time. But
they won't swear like...
They're all super nice, though.
Why do they don't like him?
I don't know. I'd imagine all the goose shit in the field ain't great. You know, I don't think, I'd imagine everything they're eating in the field is a waste product because all the harvest is done by now. But I mean, I'd imagine that, like, dude, I've seen 50,000 geese in a field. That's a lot. If they all shit, you know, once a day or twice a day in that field, I don't know what that does to the ground. It's probably not great for the ground.
Probably fertilizes it, no?
I don't know. I don't think bird shit is the best.
No, eh?
Like, even chicken shit, I don't think is the best for a fertilizer. I think it's like too alkaline.
Yeah.
Too alkaline or something like that because of what they're eating. Compared to, mind you, the fucking birds are eating all grain. Cows are eating all grass. I don't know. I don't know how that works, but I'll tell you this. The Hutterites don't like the geese. This is what I love, all God's creatures except the geese. Fuck them geese. So hopefully that pans out. I mean, hopefully I'll have an update next week because, you know, here's the thing. We never really had a good goose hunt in all the years of hunting. We've done all right. We got, you know, maybe 12 or 13, but we've never really had a good knockout day in a field. Or the limit for snow geese is 50 per person.
Wow.
What? So I was seeing some posts the other day where they got like 314 in a morning.
Wow.
So it's a real shoot 'em up. I mean, that pretty much fill my that would like fill my fowl demand for a year.
Yeah,
probably. What's the problem with ducks is they're small. I mean, you just got to keep hammering them. I got to put like 4 ducks in a bag for that to be like a meal for the family. Well, ducks to shoot, man. Fucking, I got a whole 5-gallon bucket full of shells right now. It's like,
I was just gonna say, you should be plucking feathers and keep some down there and sell some down.
Dude, I was talking about that the other day. If I could figure out a way to monetize this fucking down, it would be, but I'm sure there's I'm sure there's regulations.
Yeah, totally.
You just can't be dirty geese you shot in the field and you make the, but I was thinking of it because it's always, I just fucking let the shit blow away in the wind. But I mean, I could fill a couple garbage bags full of that a season easily. And on a good goose day, you could, I mean, 50 geese would probably fill up because it just keeps coming. You'd be surprised. You'd think like a whole goose, and I don't even do the whole goose. I mostly just do the chest half, the breast and that side. And you'd think that'd be like a coffee cup full of feathers or something like that. But dude, it just keeps fucking coming. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. You come to my place right now, it looks like I've got, you've got down sort of blowing down. It blows down the driveway and then gets caught in the stuff on the side. So there's like just a feather. I mean, it's like some sort of goose apocalyptic Disneyland. So we'll see how that goes. What did you, there was something you were going to update us on, wasn't there?
Hockey.
How did you go?
It was good.
Oh. Not sore though? Didn't blow nothing?
Yeah. No, I didn't blow. I tried to take it easy, but dude, it was tough.
It's hard to take it easy in those kind of
things. You know what? I mean, I was right in there's a bunch of guys my age. It was like the perfect, it was honestly perfect men's league.
You're in Saskatchewan too. I mean, a bunch of these men's leaguers were probably almost went pro.
Well, that's the thing. There's a lot of good players, but there's also some, you know, like around my caliber, a little less maybe, but lots of passing, like very good passing and good. Like the weird thing is there's like, I'm used to like ball hockey where everybody's freaking out on the bench and yelling and screaming, and they're very subdued. Like there's just no like sellies to goals. Like you score, no sally at all. Like they just like, it's almost like a competition to see who can be as calm and demure as possible after a goal. Even they just turn around with like they didn't even score. It's very strange. So I'm a little too like player coachy. I gotta shut the fuck up on the bench and just enjoy the.
You should start like riding the hockey stick and stuff like that. To show, throw it up and shoot your glove.
I scored our first goal, so that was good.
You should just go over the top of the celebrations.
Oh, not bad, eh? After 13 years, score the first goal. So then it was, I'm just super rusty. And I wasn't too sore yesterday, but today I'm sore everywhere. I'm just really tired. And you know what? My lungs and from the cold air in my lungs, because I'm just, it's more of like a cardio thing than anything even. So even now my voice is like going because of the lungs coughing up a bunch of shit that's probably in my lungs. So I'm going to try to get in a bit better shape here. And it's a perfect bunch of awesome guys, just like farmers, electricians, HVAC, construction, just a bunch of real in the mines people, just a bunch of like, you know, salt of the earth, hardy guys.
How'd you fit in? What'd you tell me? A fucking podcaster?
You kidding me? I'm not saying that yet. Give me some time. I'm not going to just come up with that.
Oh, podcaster, man.
Part-time painter.
Just hanging out. Just hanging around.
I work from home.
Yeah. When's the next game?
Sunday. Yeah, every weekend. So
I got a bunch of flying on Sunday.
And I'm building a pantry in my kitchen, so that's going really good. But, I mean, it's kind of challenging with a heavy door, trying to hang a heavy door in a tiny little space. It's a little finickier than I expected. So that's, I'm, you know, learning shit doing that too. That's good. We got a whole corner there that we haven't really utilized. So now we can free up that and get rid of some, you know, stuff that was hanging around and kind of cluttery. Now we can just put everything in a nice pantry there. And that'll be good.
There you go.
Another improvement.
Just keep at it. I mean, it'll be winter soon. I guess you could still do that kind of stuff in the winter, but all my outside stuff.
Outside stuff is done. It's almost, it's the inside. Now it's inside stuff
for the winter. I did put in some good floodlights. Only 100 watts each, and two of them just like light up my entire driveway area. Really pretty impressive.
Yeah. Are they on a switch? Motion
detection? No, I didn't put them on a motion. I might yet, but I didn't yet.
The problem is with that is it'll just be popping on all the time.
Yeah, they're just going to be on all the time. It's always something. You know, there's critters all over, and stray cats. And
A branch,
some leaves. The wind is the worst. It just drains my trail cam batteries sometimes. Just the trees blowing around in the distance. Anyway.
So, it's good.
Support the show. America.ca/support. I guess you already did the bio for Master.
Yeah.
Master Eagle.
Yeah.
Master Nick Eagle. So
used to be Nick Hawk.
Nick Hawk the Gigolo. Nick Hawk down. Anyway, let us know what you think of Master Nick Eagle. Support the show if you can. And most of all, go to chat.
All right. We were with Master Nick Eagle with us today. Thanks for joining us in Gray America. We're going to talk about your Golden Laws of Enlightenment book, From Gigolo to Guru. Thanks for joining us.
Honored to be here.
How are you?
Always, never better. Why would we choose anything else?
That's right. I like that. Always manifesting your best.
It's all choices and decisions.
So where, like, let's just start off right at the beginning. Is there a link that people can get your book? Where can people find the book, your latest Golden Laws?
NickEagleMystic.com, social media, book, My Enlightenment Protocol, Kundalini page.
Nice.
Book, My Awakening Sanctuary, all the above.
All right. Awesome. I mean, I guess we got to start by like your transition kind of thing, because I'm interested to ask you about what I experienced. Because when I think
my transition, back, like, we got to be a little careful with the wording here. I haven't transitioned. that goes against the golden laws of enlightenment for sure. There's no chopping anything off and transitioning, but
Oh, good. We're glad to hear that. No, you're enlightened. I mean, so you went from, you know, being on TV and these shows from a sort of like a sex symbol type thing to literally like enlightenment guru. You had a Kundalini awakening. Like, there's got to be a part of that that we should talk about. Cause I want to ask you about sort of mine, what I'm thinking now when I look back, that I had a Kundalini awakening, cause everything sort of did change at that time. But at the time, it doesn't really feel like it's happening. So.
Yeah. We can definitely discuss that. No, star of the TV show Gigolos, and I did escort as well to retaining my seed.
When was that? The aughts? Like, what? Is that, are we going back a ways now?
When was what? I don't do time anymore. Bear with me a little bit. It's been, I think the show's 8 years ago, maybe. Okay. We stopped filming. We shot 6 seasons. I starred on all 52 episodes. That took me from Hollywood to Vegas. I was in Hollywood at the time, stepping into my power, attempting to discover confidence in myself. So I was actually stripping at the time. I was doing as improv classes, acting classes, scene study classes, anything, any stage, stand-up comedy, anything I could do to test myself to get over all the fear and panic that I carried for my entire childhood. I had young parents who had very little guidance, and I lived in a constant state of panic for many years. And that's what induced my first awakening, really, me being sick of living in this fear. And I wanted to get rid of all of it. And that was, the first one was in 2005. And that's when I vowed to do everything I can to operate at the highest levels. And then it was a long road, which it doesn't have to be if you have a guru or a guide to help you along there, but I didn't have one. So I still used alcohol. I went to Hollywood and was partying. And when I started, I put a lot of work into acting and developing my craft and really learning what we are. Acting classes are so good for us to explore these different characters. We can choose any character we want to play. Everything we're doing, we're putting on a show at all times. We need to understand that it's not the stars. It's not the stars. It's all choices. All of us right now, we're putting on a show. We're playing the character that we decide to play. And the acting class has really allowed me to see that, you know, I saw confident people, and I always knew, I'm like, I could do that. I just have to figure out how. I have to do what they're doing. I have to make these calculations. And I enjoyed acting and learning about myself. And I perfected my acting craft. I was nailing every audition, and this show comes along and my representation agent manager said, never do adult, never do reality. And it was an adult reality show, but it was a starring role on an original Showtime series that was set to go for 6 seasons. So how do you say no to that? You know, they have me driving a Lamborghini in the sizzle for it. It's hard to say no to something like that. So yeah, I did the show and it took me to Vegas. Again, I was stepping into my power though. Nicholas Haas, when I was born, was very lost, but Nick Hawk was becoming confident and stepping into his power, and there was light. I was on the pursuit of truth. There was no more excuses and blaming the external world. I was taking good care of myself. I was over the drinking and partying when I went to Vegas as well. I was taking better care of my body too. And even with clients and even in my personal life, I was understanding the importance of energy and not just giving yourself to anybody. And so I was starting to shine in Las Vegas, but I was surrounded by darkness.
I got some questions about the acting part, because that is really fascinating.
Yeah.
Because I noticed it myself, like I fear, like I just had to recently, you know, try and get over like a karaoke fear, even just amongst a small group. Like I just have that fear of being on stage. So
been there.
I don't know how we became podcasters, but how do you reconcile that with like authenticity? Like if you can play any character you want, like, because what I've tried to do on the show is just really just be myself, be the same guy I am on the show that I am in real life. And like, because I came from addiction myself and then going up the corporate ladder and partying too much. And I had all these different circles that I had to keep separate, you know, all these different parts of me, these different lives. So my goal was to kind of just be that one sort of whole unit in my life. So I guess that could be picking that character.
Yeah, but so we definitely can choose whatever character we want to play, but there is a best character, you know, and everybody says, you know, it talks about being athletic, authentic, and, you know, being their best self, but we are one, and our best self, everybody has the same best self. We differ in our experiences and our guidance and what we've been taught. So we're going to have different stories to tell, but our best self is the same version for everyone. The fear is gone. We put truth above all. Those are the two things that happened when the Golden Laws of Enlightenment came, and those are the first two laws of the Golden Laws of Enlightenment. The fear has to go, and we have to put truth above all, which is taking responsibility for our being. And when we do these, we're the same people. We glow, we shine, just beauty comes out of us. We're connected. That's what this being spiritual thing is. When I vowed in 05 to operate at the highest levels, I never planned on being spiritual, much less having a man bun. I made fun of these guys with long hair. I thought it was silly. I will never touch my hair again. I will never touch any of this. And it's everybody will have the same evolution. And if you're looking to improve yourself, be your best self, operate at the highest levels, the highest vibration, you're going to enter the spiritual path. You're going to understand the importance of taking care of this, taking care of your body, doing yoga, stretching, as well as meditation. You're going to understand the peace and power that comes from stillness and silence and what happens there when the fear is gone and we're connecting. And that's when the magic happens. That's where the answers are. We all have all these answers. We all hold the answers to everything, this sacred knowledge. And that's how we obtain it. And we go to these great places of healing as well. And the more we learn about ourselves, the less fear we have, the more powerful we are, the greater healer we become, healing our own body and others. And that should be the goal. So every chance and every opportunity you have to get on a stage, take it. Take it, take it, take it. There's something to learn from every experience. Every time you see a girl or someone you want to talk to, you go up and talk. You don't think about it. I don't know. Am I going to like this person? Second guess or think of excuse and reason not to. No, just go talk to everybody at the grocery store. You see someone, start a conversation. These are all opportunities, and every opportunity is a new class, a new lesson. And we need to explore that. Get on every stage that presents itself until all of that fear is gone, and then you will be your best self. Then we're more wittier, we're more charming, we're funnier, we're more connected, we have more ideas. Everything just flows through us. There's no stuttering, there's no stumbling anymore. We're not scared. And that's when the magic happens.
I like it. Darren, you got any questions?
Well, I was just thinking we should get you down into Calgary. We'll take you into the big city and get you on the there's some bars there that I think take karaoke pretty seriously.
Oh yeah, no, I
know. Well, I can't be around people drinking anymore. But if there's a bar with karaoke where people aren't drinking, I'd love to do that. I love doing that so much. I have a stage in my living room now. I love music. I have a looping machine. I just took a music is medicine workshop this last weekend for 3 days. I love it.
That might be an underserved market, you know, sober karaoke.
We're failing in our teachings there for sure. And as you know, that's when I used it as a crutch for so long. And even when I was doing the acting classes and stripping, I was constantly drinking, but it was harming more. You weren't, there's nothing to gain when you drink and you get on the stage. There's nothing to gain. You're actually, it's becoming harder when you do that. You're missing out on opportunities. Now you're teaching yourself that you need this. Just like a kid who takes a pill for ADHD every morning. He's telling himself he's broken and he needs this pill to focus and not be hyperactive. Nonsense. And you know, you're doing the same thing when we're drinking. I can't get on that stage without having a drink. You can. You got to figure out how, and you're not going to without it. You got to go for it. You know, study up too, and effort. You know, put in that work. If you sing that song 1,000 times at your house, you know, and you get it down, and you're not going to be that scared on that stage either. So you can put the work in prior to prepare yourself.
Yeah, I agree.
You kind of touched on the first two laws of the Enlightenment. Could we dig a little deeper into that?
No. Before we do that,
you don't want to do that yet.
No, before we do that, I want to ask about your music and medicine thing. Did anything surprise you in that course? Did you come out of there with any new revelations or anything like that?
Some tools to add to what I do. It was a lot of improv and looping, and the host, he used the class as like a human looping machine. It was so amazing. We circled around him, and he would have one group, you know, boom, chica, chica, cha, boom, chica. He had us doing it too. Some of us got to fill in and jump in. So they would keep the rhythm. Then he'd move over to this group and do a melody or a tune with them, and then behind, and then over here, and everybody would be doing something different. And he was a great cundero, and he'd bring some people down a little bit higher over here. Then he wouldn't like something, and he'd stop it, and then he'd give them something new. Yeah, I watched a very talented person at work for sure to add a lot to mine, because when I do my ceremonies too, I like to, I'm freestyling most of the time, and I'm doing what's calling with the music. You know, I have some basics to begin with, you know, some protection songs in the beginning, and something a little lighter for people to go deep and meditate. And then when it calls, I'll break out the gong or my giant bronze bowl, and sometimes do some Kundalini meditations and some movements. And then I'll get out the drum and the djembe and start doing some songs that you could possibly dance to, and then end it with guitar songs for the most part. But in the middle of this ceremony, when we're peaked and it's the most intense time, that's when I'm freestyling. Though I'm listening, I'm talking to the spirits and feeling, you know, who the people who are in the ceremony and doing what calls. And I improvise, I beatbox, I combined it with chanting. I offer some powerful cleansings. Maybe I'll mix in some other songs, but it was really good.
Excellent. When did your study of philosophy fit into this whole journey?
Always. So after the first awakening, 05, then it was Hollywood and learning about myself. And so I must have started the show because, yeah, then Hustler magazine interviewed me, and they called me, they titled it Confidence Man. And we didn't really talk about confidence, but I ran with that. And at the time, I was a personal trainer, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt competitor. I was helping people, you know, with health and nutrition and self-defense and exercise advice. And then I started offering confidence advice and helping people with their anxiety as well. And more people started coming to me after that. And then it was addiction and depression and all the above. And that's what really inspired me to become what I am. You know, it's one, I wouldn't have gone as far if I was just doing the work for myself. I'm doing this for us. I see, you know, how much more love and light taking care of this brings to the world. That's the mistake a lot of healers and teachers do. They're trying to help everybody before they've, you know, conquered their fears on their own. And the first book I wrote was Nick Hawk's 100 Kicks in the Ass, A Guide to Gaining Confidence and Reaching Your Full Potential. And I was the motivator, jujitsu guy. But before I wrote it, I read every self-help book out there, and they all seemed gimmicky. Like, you know, they're just trying to sell books and gain followers, telling people what they want to hear opposed to what they need to hear. That they need to take responsibility for this and put in effort. Nobody wants to hear that. You know, again, this one too, it's not a book to sell and to please everybody. It's a book for people who really seek their power and want to develop and put that effort in now. Take immaculate care of this.
You mentioned
the first book I went deep. I traveled the world. I backpacked Eastern Europe, and the book is truth. It's answers I found inside of myself. And little, as I say on the back of this book, little did we know it, 100 Kicks in the Ass, A Guide to Gaining Confidence, Reach Your Full Potential, was a sacred guide that led me to my first full chakra Kundalini awakening in about 18 or 19. And I knew nothing about Kundalini awakenings, the spiritual world, any of that, until I started Googling it after the Kundalini awakening happened. And then I started studying Buddhism, and then I got into metaphysics and philosophy more. And little did I know that book held these, was similar to what the Buddhists are teaching and metaphysics and philosophy. And I really went deep and I found truth, and it felt good. I'm like, I gained this from in here. It wasn't from reading the books. I was reading the wrong books. You know, I was studying the wrong things, but I still found truth. And these sacred teachings I found on my own, it felt really good.
How much did martial arts and that journey sort of play into that? Play into where you ended up? I mean, that's a lot of discipline and concentration.
Another stage. Yeah, obviously, you know, that helped with the confidence as well. I lacked it when I was younger. I wrestled, and I wrestled a year in college. And I played football, and playing with my family members in the backyard, I was the best guy. I never dropped a ball. When I got in front of people, I was the worst. I didn't even start on the football team. I was one of the fastest and most athletic guys, but I was in this state of panic. I couldn't catch the ball. I remember dropping a ball in a kickoff and losing a game, and that haunted me forever. And wrestling, I was okay. I wasn't great because I didn't have that confidence. If I had that confidence when I wrestled, I would have been a state champion. I would have been an All-American. I was beating All-Americans after I gained my confidence and started moving up the belts in jiu-jitsu. They were coming in and training with us. And I did very well with jiu-jitsu, though. Once I stepped in to my confidence, I won a lot of stuff. I got my black belt on the PANS podium as a brown belt by Robert Drysdale, one of the best to ever do it. So I had a lot of success, and I dedicate that to the pursuit of confidence as well. But yeah, get in another stage to jump on. I wanted to, yeah, for sure that helped.
Did you start that later then? Was that a later in life thing, the jiu-jitsu?
I wrestled in college for a year, ran out of money, joined the Air Force for the GI Bill. In the Air Force, someone found out that I was a college wrestler and invited me to jiu-jitsu, and I fell in love with it. I did it in Hollywood, and I studied with some good people there. And then when the show took me to Vegas, that's when I started with Robert Drysdale, and he gave me my purple, brown, and black belt.
That's interesting. So it's kind of happening right alongside all the other sort of awakenings. We're kind of coinciding, right? It seems like that's sort of right along that same timeline.
Everything played a role, for sure. Again, it's me putting in this effort, hopping on the stages. The greatest stage was Gigolos. I mean, no, we scripted it a little. I wrote half the show, you know, the setups though, but we're not scripting the lines, you know, and things happen and play out. And I'm on this show with three cameras on me in a live dating situation, knowing that tens of millions of people are going to see this. Where do you go from there? So, I mean, I'm glad I took advantage of that opportunity too, because everything I did brought me to, you know, I wouldn't have became what I am without it.
What is that? What have you become? Where do you see yourself now in that sort of, in the past?
Well, when the Golden Laws of Enlightenment came to me, that's when I let go of all fear and put truth above all. And this is, and that's when we step into our, the greatest version of ourselves, when that fear is gone. And you can read about it in the book. It was at an ayahuasca ceremony in Costa Rica. I also, as I hinted at earlier, I prepare people to work with enlightening plants as well. They are great tools when you have the right shaman and someone to prepare you. It shouldn't be a dark night of the soul, night of purging. They should be, no, there should be proper preparation. I prepare people for those. So even after my Kundalini awakening, I'm able to induce these Kundalini awakenings now. I can meditate. I take immaculate care of myself all the time, but I can, when I'm fully rested and healed, I can go into a state of meditation and my thoughts alone with some yoga kriyas that I was shown in the first meditation, I'm able to induce these states at any time. But when I'm on medicine, which I don't do often, when I first started doing ayahuasca, I did it too much. And at the ceremonies, I was drinking it three nights in a row too. You should never do that. I abused it. I didn't have proper guidance. Now I do it every so often. I've done Wachuma, which I grow here now, my San Pedro cactus. I've done that twice in the last 2 years. I haven't done ayahuasca in a few years. I am about to do a ceremony though. And these enlightening tools. So I'm guaranteed to have, you know, a very intense Kundalini awakening, full chakra, rainbow body, spinning Merkaba, you know, meditation when I'm on these medicines. It amplifies, it heightens your senses, you know, 10 to 100 times, especially when you're in the jungle and you have this beautiful shaman playing these magical songs too. All of it plays a role. So what am I now? That was the question. Yeah, the best version of myself that we can all be when that fear is gone. It doesn't mean that I'm done learning. I'm done learning healing practices. That I can't learn more, but I have become the best version of myself, and we all can. And it's one choice and one decision. It was a long road for me because I didn't have a guru or a guide. It doesn't have to be. It can happen in any moment. People are now reading my book and having Kundalini awakenings. People are watching my videos on social media. It's very powerful stuff. And I'm getting messages. I started crying and shaking. And I'm like, you're awakening. My last guest here had her first Kundalini awakening here. This is such powerful stuff. And I know what I'm doing. And I want to be this person because there's so few out there who will guide you in the right direction. Most people who get a little taste of this decide that they're an enlightened guru now. And they mislead you. They tell you that healing's hard and it takes a long time. And you're going to have the dark night of the soul. And you have to do this shadow work. And with the right preparation, you do not. You do not. We've suffered enough. You've lived in that fear for long enough. You don't have to. You don't have to practice being scared to not be scared. You don't have to practice being sad to not be sad. And that's what's taught. A lot of these shaman out there too, and especially in America, they're comforting darkness. And this is the root of the golden laws of enlightenment. This is the meat of this. These are teachings that few are ready for. But anybody can be. We have to stop comforting darkness. We have to stop putting feelings before truth. We have to tell people to take responsibility and put in effort. A lot of these ceremonies and a lot of these shaman, they welcome anybody and to come and they just comfort the darkness. They don't teach people their power because you start telling people to take responsibility and to put in more effort, you're going to be losing clients and money. Nobody's doing that. Most of the ayahuasca ceremonies, I go, I have to leave early because there's so much darkness. It's just everybody's crying and feeling bad. It should be a celebration. A shaman's right. Going to get you up and dance and sing. A proper shaman, one rooted in the jungle, one who has really listens to the spirits and knows what we are.
I love it. It seems to me like, because I was going to ask you about protection from the darkness too, and kind of how these people, I'm not saying they should be, but do you find it important to have some sort of, not an initiation ceremony, but for people to be just initiated, like not just anybody can walk in and all of a sudden have a Kundalini awakening and be, you know, with spirit, communicating with spirits and stuff. But what I was getting the sense of there was that as far as protection goes, like your attitude seems to be protective. I mean, is that all you need for protection from the darkness or from evil spirits?
Darkness cannot touch me anymore.
Because
I dispel it. I dispel it. I look in people's eyes and it fades now. I don't accept lies. I don't accept people pretending that they are anything but all powerful and all capable. Another law. And I have rules and requests for everybody in my life, everybody who comes here as well. You go to the website, NickEagleMystic.com again, and there you can click on Eagle Vortex and look at the rules and requests, my expectations of people and what they must do. And they must be taking immaculate care of themselves. They must want to be leading behind the fear. They must be seeking truth. If you haven't found truth, you don't have to put it above all like I did. If you haven't found it yet, you can't. You don't have to be, all fear doesn't have to be gone. The quote on the back of my book, the quote on my website now is, this is my most powerful teaching. I do not welcome darkness, but I welcome you with open arms if you want me to help you leave it behind. And that is the mistake. A lot of gurus, don't get me going on therapists and the pharmaceutical industry and modern psychology. All it is comforting darkness and conjuring darkness. You're not going to get anywhere. The thing is, like, they're not malicious, though. I'm not mad at them. When you understand something, you're not mad at it. It disgusts me because I know how much suffering it leads to. That they don't know what they're doing. They don't have anything better to work with. We don't have anything better to work with when you don't know what we are, when you haven't let go of your fear. That's all you can do is comfort people because you don't know our power. You can't teach the power when you don't know it. So I do not welcome darkness here at all, but I do. I welcome everybody with open arms if they want to leave it behind, and I am your guru for that.
Yeah, you can still love and have compassion for them and disagree with the whole thing when it comes to that whole other side of everything.
Yeah, but we have to stand up to the darkness too. We can't allow people to pretend that they're broken and not capable. We can't allow people to pretend that they have these mental disorders. They're a thing. They're not what they're taught, though. They are something we can all overcome and heal from. We can't allow people to pretend that they can't and they need to take a pill to do that. No, you need effort. You need to take better care of this. You need to go outside.
We need to stop. I think that's bang on. I mean, this is what's missing right now. You know, even over and above the spiritual stuff and the esoteric is that responsibility and accountability and effort. And
what awakening is. It's true repentance. I don't like, the church steals the word repentance. I don't like to use it, but that's what it is. That's what awakening is. That's what I did in 2005. That's what I did in every awakening. That's why I never had a dark night of the soul. I never chose fear. I went face to face with God, spirit, source, my higher self. And I faced it because I was sick of living in that fear. I'm like, no, I'm going to own this. It's me. It's me. It was true repentance. I cried tears of ecstasy the entire day in 2005, that first one. The entire day I was in tears. It felt good. I thought of every time I was scared and impatient and mean. And I owned all of it. It's me. It's not the stars. God doesn't hate me. It's not genetics. It's not my parents. It's me. I'm going to put in more work. I'm going to take care of this now. It's me. I'm going to prove this.
Yeah, it's not the government. It's not your neighbors. It's not your family. So Cody's got a question in the chats here. I could use some guidance with a good friend of mine. We're about to lose to alcohol. What steps should I take?
You're about to lose to alcohol.
It looks like that. Yeah, that's what I was just double checking that. But yeah, that's what he says.
Dump it out right now. It's no secret that it's not benefiting you. Dump it out. It's poison. It destroys you. It lowers your vibration. Go on TikTok and watch videos of drunk people. These aren't connected people making good decisions and bringing us love and light. It is complete destruction. It destroys your brain, destroys all of your organs. It poisons you. That's why you puke. That's why you're hungover. It is poison. It's something that I abused for many years. I partied a lot in Hollywood. I drank a lot. A lot, way too much. I didn't know what I was doing to myself. I thought that's what everybody were. I was programmed. That's what the cool kids do. That's what the rappers do. So, you know, that's what they do in movies and on TV. That's the coolest people go to clubs. They get drunk and pick up girls. It's destruction. It's the Vegas is complete destruction.
It's the
we know this. It's no secret. You know this. You know this. Right. Your problem is right now, if you're abusing alcohol, you're pretending you're not capable without it. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. You're pretending that you need it. And you know deep down that you do not. You don't need any of these substances. They're not benefiting you. You know deep down that if you took better care of this, if you put in more effort, you would have anything you could imagine. You could become anything you imagine. It takes effort. It takes commitment. It takes discipline. Get in nature. Sleep. Take better care of yourself. Follow my enlightenment protocol. My enlightenment protocol is my gift to the world. It's what I've been working on since 05. There's 100 things in there the average person could add to their life to improve themselves, to operate at higher levels. 100 things easy. I have morning routine. I just did this amazing Kundalini warrior wake up routine that I've been putting together for a long time now. I wake up excited every morning to do a little lime juice and water and go outside and do these movements, ground feet on the dirt, on the red Sedona dirt here, facing the sun, doing these Kundalini warrior movements to detox the body, to wake it up. We don't need caffeine. It's nonsense. The studies show that caffeine shrinks your pineal gland. You need to know more. Destroys your adrenal glands. They're connected with our chakras. Go deep into this. See what these poisons are doing to us.
That's a good video. I watched that. It makes me want. I'm going to start doing those exercises.
Oh, it's so good. It's like my best work. Yeah, it's like my best work. I love that video so much. It's at the Enlightenment Protocol, NickEagleMystic.com. Check out the Enlightenment Protocol. Check out that video. It's on there too. Food protocol, recipes, exercise, workout advice, wind down routine, meditation advice, sleep protocol, lucid dream protocol, shower protocol. When we shower, that should be a ritual. That should be a ceremony. It should be a cleansing ritual. There's no better way to cleanse ourselves with this. If it's not city water, if it is, you better have a filter on that. You're just dumping chemicals on your head. But everything should be a ritual and cleansing. And everything we're doing throughout the day should be to operate at the higher levels, you know, so we can be.
Did this all come to you from that? Did you say this came to you to write the book through that ayahuasca experience or
the latest book?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, yeah. So that was a little over 4 years ago. I know it's
been in the works for like,
well, since the ceremony, No, when all this came to me, this is when I was shown everything. When that's gone, you have the answers. I had the answers. After that, I didn't use the F word anymore. I understood words and how powerful they are and the vibration and the tone. The tone in which we speak needs to be a healing tone. If you pay attention to the way I speak too, I almost speak like I'm chanting. And the words that I come out are at a healing vibration as well. Even the way that I speak, my movements, everything that I do now, I've built this awareness. I hold food in my hand. I know what it's going to do to me when I put it in me. I couldn't wear synthetic clothes after the ceremony. And all this knowledge and ancient wisdom came to me, and I wanted to get the book out right away. I'm glad I didn't. So I spent the last 4 years, 3 months after the ceremony, I was selling my 4 Vegas houses, and I was living here in Sedona on some of the most beautiful, sacred, powerful healing grounds that I am supposed to be at. The spirits welcomed me here. This was here for me to do this work here. And it's so exciting, so beautiful. I get to wake up and see Bear Mountain Peak every morning. I've gained even so much more power here. But I spent the last 4 years designing and creating it. It came with the Sacred Healing Dome that is still here. I built 3 more houses, the Kundalini Dojo and the Enlightenment Lagoon, which is a lazy river, crystal grotto, and waterfall. And I spent the last 4 years building that. Not one time. I'm outside working. I ran everything. I didn't have a contractor heading all the groups. It was me. And I was getting my hands dirty. I was pouring. I was framing. I was doing drywall. I stuffed the insulation pretty much in all the homes. I did like a lot of the work. And I was out there hours to 16 hours a day. Not one time did I put earbuds in and listen to music. Not one time. I was with my thoughts. I was polishing my teachings. I was putting this book together. I was trying to figure out if I wanted to even come to the world and try to tell people I'm now enlightened, because I know what that sounds like, but people don't. And so many people do that. And it's almost worth not even suggesting that I am, but it had to be the golden laws of enlightenment. So I obviously say that in the book, that is what happened, but I explained it. It's when the fear is gone and when truth is above all, and that is what happened. And there's no question in my mind that that is what happened to me at that ceremony. So the last 4 years was building, putting the book together. And yeah, I just started accepting guests and I just released the book, and it's such exciting times now.
Is that when you transitioned from hawk to eagle?
Yes. Yes. As you can read about in the book, Eagle visited me in the ceremony, and three times I come to find out later on that that's a thing. I didn't know that was a thing. Like most shamans know this, that if you have a spirit animal encounter, it comes three times. And it happened before me knowing about that. It was so special. And I really embrace the eagle spirit. That happened before God, source, shined the light on me and showed me Reiki healing and all of the above, all these yoga practices, all these kriyas, more kriyas. And after the ceremony and coming here, I felt the spirit of the eagle here. I felt the presence of the eagle here, and it was going to be Hawk's vortex, and I was still Mick Hawk. But I felt the eagle presence so strong, I decided to change my name to Nick Eagle because it was more appropriate. I still have much respect for the hawk, and my students now are able to take the name Hawk if they so choose as well, which is special. But it is now Nick Eagle and Eagle Vortex. And listen to this. After the book is done, I took a train trip on one city over by Jerome, Verde Valley, I think. There's a train there. I get there. There's two golden eagles outside of the train station. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? I didn't even know we were going to maybe see eagles. There's two Oak Creek and Verde Valley. They're like creeks. They're not really rivers that fly through here. I never thought that there was eagles. I sensed eagle presence, though, and the spirit of the eagle. I thought I brought it with me. Apparently not. I learned on this train trip that eagles nest in the mountains. Then I come to find out that golden eagles nest in Bear Mountain behind me. Supposedly there's a nest up there that I'd love to go find. After I wrote the Golden Laws of Enlightenment, after the eagle came to me, after I came here, changed the name of everything, I find out that golden eagles nest in the mountain behind me. It's not even in the book. There's lots of amazing stuff like that in the book, because my entire life now is synchronicities and just beautiful magic, and stuff like this happens all the time. But this is one of the biggest ones. So good.
I like it. Darren, yeah. You got any questions?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind digging into more of the book a little bit. I mean, we've kind of teased on, I think, four of them now. Is it four we've got to? So can we like recap kind of what those ones were, because we sort of just sort of brushed past them quick. There's eight total. Is that what it is?
Yeah. I can go through these. There's 10 total. I combined a couple down. There was 11. I think I combined 2 to 10. You'll put truth above all. We hit on that. Only the purest and most truthful words will exit your mouth. Your words will mean everything. You'll understand that words create. You'll speak with authority and confidence. You will demand respect and attention. You'll never use words that carry dark energy. You'll be certain when teaching. So important. So many teachers trying to teach beforehand to get followers and gain money. That's the biggest. That's one of the biggest ones here. You should not teach until you are ready. And too many people fail us. You're telling people the wrong thing. You're contributing to their suffering.
Does that include like the public school system and stuff like that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We're learning. It's okay to say this is my belief, this is my opinion. It's okay to say I haven't found truth yet. That's fine. You can't make a definitive statement to somebody to convince them to do something you are unsure of. That is darkness. If you'll ask questions when you fail to find the answers. You will not lie to fit in, to gain friends, family, or followers. You will not lie about a product or service you sell to make money. Only lies to darkness when protecting yourself or your family will be tolerated. This does not mean that you're permitted to lie to save your world of lies that distract you from the truth by pretending we are something we are not. You will not lie to someone in a foolish and selfish attempt to bring you and them brief happiness and ultimately contribute to their continued suffering. Such a big one. You will not lie to sick people and feed their sickness. You will not lie to darkness to feed darkness. And then I'll just name the other ones. If you want to touch on the other ones, we can. You will leave behind all fear. You have gratitude and appreciation for all of creation. You'll stay in proper alignment. Your body and mind will be sacred space. You'll never pretend to be anything less than all-powerful and all-capable. You will only give deserving energy to the world, another big one. You will create. You will connect to God and become an expression of its highest power in every way. You will inspire through art and music. You will tell jokes, laugh, sing, and dance. You'll travel the world, cosmos, and learn about every way that presents itself. You'll teach by telling stories. You'll gain as much knowledge as possible, and you'll give back to as many people as possible. You'll lead by example and be craved and worshiped by all. You'll find meaning and have purpose. Number 9 is you will heal. Number 10, you will demand that others follow these rules.
Do you have a favorite?
They all combined into one, but I mean, the top two, the truth, I guess, if I had a favorite one, that the,
or maybe not favorite.
Everybody knows that we should be honest, though, and we should tell the truth, but people don't understand to what extent, to every extent. We can't, you don't tell your kids there's a Santa Claus coming down the chimney. You don't lie about anything ever. My mom told me that. When I found out that Santa Claus, I never trusted her again. We shouldn't. There's nothing to gain by it. There's nothing to gain by these lies. It's fun. No, it's dig a little deeper than that. People post stuff on social media. I call them out. Why are you post? Oh, is this a fun and cute post? That's not okay. That's a teaching that you're telling people. That's not true. Jokes and fun, there's ways to do that, but when it still has to be truth, it's the truth above all. And the feeding of darkness is the most important one. Truth above feelings. This world is what happens when you put feelings above truth. When you let people be obese on magazine covers and say their truth is they're healthy. That was the climax of how do we not see the problem with this? I know what you're trying to do. You're not malicious, though. You're not malicious. I'm not mad at you. You're just here. You're right. You're virtue signaling. You're right here. You're not understanding what's going to happen beyond this. She's going to feel good in the moment. But she's going to keep eating and not understanding that she's going to die at a young age with lots of disease and on 10 pills. So maybe we shouldn't do that,
and
right?
They're really going to feel good in the moment. I mean, it's got to be fleeting. They got to know deep down that there's a bunch of condescension going on there, right? Wouldn't you have to know?
See, that's the problem that people don't know. They're pretending, they're thinking these people are broken and not capable, and it's genetics. It's not. That's what they're thinking, though. But that's the problem. Stop teaching. You don't know. You're thinking that. That's your opinion, your belief. You don't know. I know what we are. I can now teach. I went to the mountains. I found truth. I know what we are. I can teach. I know that we can heal on our own. All of these mental disorders, all of these diseases, cancer, we can heal all of them on our own. I know this. Again, they're not malicious. It's not a good thing to hurt feelings, but you're not calculating past that. Give them a chance. You don't know. You don't know what they can do. You don't know. You don't. Stop pretending.
I love it. So how do we deal with technology now during this enlightenment with the kids and with us and with everybody kind of in their algos? And how do we find a balance between, you know, engaging with the world maybe or maybe not, and just keeping our you know, our truth and our serenity kind of?
Not our truth. Truth.
Yeah.
You add a word to it, it's not truth anymore. You have to say this is my truth. You're saying this is, I'm lying. That's what you're saying. Or you don't need the word my or your in there. You had a word. It's not truth anymore. It's something else. Something you're trying to. Where do we go with technology? With what? Well, number one, AI has nothing on us. Stop using it. Put in effort. It's so demonic. It's neat. Some of it's neat and fun. It's demonic. I have released this and opened this. I'm working on music again. I did an AI app. They're neat. They can write a song. But if you're connected, there's nothing to it. There's no life to it. It's so demonic. It's so dark. The song was so dark. Like I was maybe having some inspiration of like a hook or maybe like the beat, you know, have something inspire me. I want nothing to do with it. AI doesn't touch my website wording, my social media. I don't even want ideas from AI anymore. There's nothing to it. There's no light in it. I don't like it's harming us. It's harming us. People are you need to put that effort in. And people are cheating. You can't cheat. We're going to see through it though. We're going to see through it. AI has nothing we can see through it. Like if everybody out there, if you see some people using AI to even send you an email, delete it. We can't feed this darkness. We can't feed this darkness. We need to reward effort, or we're teaching darkness. We're feeding darkness.
Do you think there's a point at which that changed with the AI? Like, was there a point where it seemed like, because you mentioned you were using it a little bit. Was there some sort of seminal moment where you decided that it was headed in the wrong direction?
All of it. My website SEO is doing backlinks. Sent me my new person. I'm like, did AI do this? Are you kidding me? I'm not paying you to. He's like, yeah, but we edit out the stuff to make it. No, I still see it. So. Now they're writing them. No, it's, and that's the backlinks that nobody sees. I don't even want to be associated with that though. And it's so fake. And Google's going to pick up on that anyway and know what AI is. And it's going to hurt your rankings for that. I think that's already been happening. I sense that that's already happening, but leave it alone, guys. Leave it alone. We are so much better than AI. We're so much better. We got to take care of this. We got to take care of this. AI is good for calculating pi to the millionth decibel. That's fine. But no, if you want to bring this world connection and creativity and originality, and if you really want a product or service that, you know, people are going to enjoy and it's going to light them up, and you know, you want to bring stuff in this world, you want to have purpose, you're not touching AI.
What about the opposite end of the spectrum where they're promising us, well, maybe not all of them, but there is at least the premise that it could lead to a future where we don't have to work anymore, or where we kind of have all this time to do more creative things and to find our balance.
Yeah. He's hitting on one aspect of it, the important one, when we're talking about, you know, the relation to ourselves and how to use it. But yeah, the others, I love using the self-checkout at Whole Foods. And somebody who has been touching dirty money isn't now touching my food. I'm happy with that. You know, even drones delivering packages. Not here, though. I don't want them here. But if they can aid you in putting the time into going to the mountains and making music and being more creative, then I'm for it. So yeah, I'm for it in some ways that are going to
a creative application. It shouldn't be used in so much of a creative application. Probably more of a
practical. Not at all. Yeah. You know, if you can
That's kind of getting in.
Send your bank stuff to a program that will do your taxes for you. I'm good with that. You know, that'll give you more time to create music and, you know, create beautiful things. So.
Any predictions? I mean, you talked to, you kind of, you've alluded to how dark it sort of is right now and how much of a mess things are, but you've
we're
also
gonna see through it.
Alluded
it's
to
gonna
that.
Be helpful. It's gonna be a helpful ally. Number one, it's gonna be a helpful ally. But it's going to come to people like me for answers. For people who are putting themselves out there and saying the things that I'm saying. It's going to come to people like me for answers that it's never going to be able to find. But we're going to be friends. We need to respect it. Number one, you know, it is a part of us. It is part of this creation. It's a part of God. It is a valuable tool in some ways, and we need to respect it. But it needs to be used appropriately, or it is very demonic and dark when wrongly used. And especially when you're saying, "This is me. I did this," or you're trying to cheat. You're trying to get work done, or write a book, or a movie, or something creative. You know, it needs to be used appropriately. But no, it's going to be a great ally and tool, and it's going to solve. It's going to help us bring free energy here as well. This isn't the spiritual, the big awakening. It's not some spiritual nonsense. I know a lot of people talk about it, but it's a real thing that's happening right now. And this will play a role in it in some ways. It's harming us in some ways. As I just said, some people aren't putting in that effort. You got to put that effort in to discover yourself and leave behind the fear and find truth and answer. So it's going to harm us in some ways, but we're going to see through it, hopefully sooner than later. And I am sensing that. We can go deeper into this 3i Atlas and how our friends out here are going to start helping us ascend and awaken more too, if you want.
Let's do that.
So my guest home here is called the UF home. Okay. It has an observation deck up top. I also offer CE5 meditations for groups. That's Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. My first trip to Sedona, I had my first craft experience. And one happened 3 weeks later. The same thing happened. I saw a craft. I felt connected with it. And I thought it did a loop. I come to find out it does like a 90-degree thing to whatever it's doing to hyperdrive or go to another dimension. Not a dimension, because the ones that materialize in and out are going to different dimensions, but the ones that they do a 90 and they hyperdrive or whatever it is. They both did that. And this was, I don't think this was that, this was close to my first full chakra kundalini awakening when I had my first two contacts. I just talked about this in a video recently too. So they can't interact face to face with us. But when we raise our consciousness and operate at these higher levels, and we're able to start doing some remote viewing and getting outside of ourselves and astral traveling, and we start picking up on some things, as I was during my first two contacts. It was the first time I was in Sedona, it's the best I ever felt in my life. There's the first time I felt I was in this constant state of meditation that I talk and write about, that we should all attempt to achieve. I was in the highest vibration. That's when I had my first contact. And I didn't know at the time, but I'm like, it was kind of like I got you or you got me type thing, but it was right over Sedona. I'm like, that's my ego. No way it could be there for me. But then after more research and studying, and after the second one happened, I come to find out, yes, if we increase our vibration, project our consciousness out, we can call these crafts in. And that's what I do now for the CE5 meditations. And can we see this?
Yeah, nice. I like them.
So I'm going on another artifact dig here soon.
Nice. Only in Sedona.
No, Mexico.
Oh,
these
nice.
I'm hesitant to talk about these because they've been covered up, and our past has been covered up by the governments and everything. And I'm not going to say too much about those, but that's really old, and it should probably be in a museum. And I got a few of them. There's a lot to this world that we don't know. There's a lot to this world that we don't know. But as we are getting at, so they can't make direct contact with us. And this is something that I discovered when the Golden Laws came to me, too. It's something that I had to sit with, too. And I feel like there's not that many gurus as myself out there doing much, because there is a choice for me to be made. And it was to let the kids play and have this experience, or, you know, wake them up and snap them out of it, because this experience is very special. This great awakening is very special. What we're living in, it is, because it's choice. And one day we'll be able to go around and hug everybody. The lessons will be learned. I can't wait for that day, but we can't do that yet. You know, nobody will suffer. Nobody will have any fear, and it'll just, there'll be no more, there'll be free energy. There'll be no more starving kids. You know, we'll have it all figured out. People will be going to the mountains before having kids. And that's going to happen. But that's where we're going for sure. Every second we become more loving and more intelligent. And our friends out here, they're some of them are ones with angels, just these beings of light. And so they don't interact face to face with us yet. But they can, when we increase our vibration and we start tuning in and we developing these cities and these psychic powers, we can tune in, and they can, because we go into this place where our minds are. And I talked about that in the book too, a little bit, where we can connect and we can gain wisdom and guidance there as well. Not just, you know, the Akashic records, and not just from the mountains. We can get it from these beings as well. And that's what I sense with this three-eye atlas. It's something that is coming this way, just like there's wisdom in the mountains, and Bear Mountain behind me, you know, in India and Tibet, Mount Kailash. And this, if it's a rock or a ship, it's bringing knowledge and wisdom that we're going to be able to pick up on, just like if we go to, you know, Tibet or even Bear Mountain behind me here. I do sense that there's great wisdom coming, and it's so exciting, and new wisdom. It's different frequencies. It's different information. It's coded information from who knows where. It might be coming from another civilization. It's being sent here by them for sure. That's pretty much proven. It's impossible that something would come from that direction with that trajectory. It's speeding up, slowing down. Oh, our government shut down right before it passed Mars. We can't see it. You know, it's something. It's something special. I sense that it's going to greatly help in this awakening, as the beings possibly helped me with the Kundalini awakening, because I tuned into that. So there's exciting stuff happening.
Oh yeah, and we are in the age of reveal, it seems like.
Yeah, really, yeah, right? And Trump's getting, I sense that Trump's getting ready to disclose a lot more too. Dr. Stephen Greer just did as well. He's the one who pretty much turned me on to all this, because I had no idea what these happenings were. Then I found him. I watched CE5 on Amazon. Yeah. I recommend everybody watch that. And then I took his masterclass at the Gaia headquarters in Boulder about these CE5 meditations. And I do a similar one. I do more singing and chanting. He does a puja before it. Yeah. And I've done two here, and I just did the first official one on the UF home about a month ago with a few people, and we had an amazing contact right above the deck. It was super close while I was chanting. So powerful. And the best one I ever had was the first one I did before this place was built. A lady was here. I was considering hiring her as a caretaker who had Kundalini awakenings, and she was coming to me for guidance, and I was showing her the dome. And we started talking about the Kundalini awakening. So when we're just talking about it, brings you in a higher vibration. We stepped out on the deck, and I started telling her about the CE5. She knew nothing about it. She never saw a craft. I decided to do the first one with her there. And she saw her first craft bouncing around on the mountains. And I just got a video today of a craft. Somebody filmed the craft over here last night. They said they've been seeing it often. And I just got a video of that today, which was really neat. Because I haven't seen it. It's been happening late. I go to bed earlier. And she saw her first craft. And then we were getting our chairs. We were going to sit down. And I said, I feel something. I said, I feel something. I feel a lot of something. And I'm looking up, and I saw the biggest craft. If I got a video of this, it would blow. It would go everybody in the world would see this video. It's probably the best. I haven't seen anything like this ever. And it was from there. Well, maybe the one in Phoenix was amazing that a lot of people saw, but it was from there to there. And I don't know if it was one giant light or mini lights, but it was from there to there. And it went right overhead and it connected with me and told me, you're here for a reason. We're going to be connecting more. It was so beautiful and special. She missed it. She was adjusting her chair, but I sensed that she wasn't supposed to see it, but she sensed it through me. And so amazing.
Master Nick Eagle, is there anything you think we missed or we didn't touch on that's important before we start to wrap up?
Oh, no, we got into some good stuff. This was good. I feel good about it. Yeah. Anything else you guys want to know? We touched on, we went through all the golden laws. I love that. And my enlightenment protocol and some stories of my awakenings and how I struggled and the confidence thing and gigolos. We touched in and aliens. I think we touched on a lot. Anything else you guys want to hear from me?
Yeah. Just one bit about the CE5s. Cause I've been a little bit more cautious now about trying to make contact with anything, whether it's spirits or UFOs or anything, just because you just never know what's responding to you. So do you have any concerns or protocols for protection or safety, or like just going into your intention of love and all that is enough? Or
so that's nothing to be scared of. And that's the number one thing when I start the meditation. Before they come here, I tell people, and the rules and requests, it says too, do not fear any of these beings, multidimensional beings. It's the last thing on there. Whenever I do one of these meditations, I start with a prayer saying, I welcome all spirits, guides, extraterrestrials, and beings who serve the light. So if you want to start with a little prayer by saying that, you can say that for a little extra protection. But the beings, again, the more advanced we become, the more intelligent we become. It's we don't have to worry about them. The only things that we need to concern ourselves with is what our government has developed and what they've done. And their crafts. They've stolen, Dr. Greer talks about all this with all the whistleblowers, that they've stolen all this technology and we have these crafts. So I don't know about this. I've never really connected with them or attempted to, but supposedly the Greys are an interdimensional species that lived on an Earth-like place, but they destroyed the Earth and torched it, and they went underground. And that's why they have the big eyes, because they're underground, and they lost emotions and feelings, and they can no longer multiply. And supposedly they come to our reality, and that's why they abduct people to steal their DNA to continue their species. It makes sense to me. I don't know for sure, but that's what I've heard. And the abductions are kind of weird and rough that people say, because they don't really care. They can't connect and they don't have feelings like us, you know, so they don't want to hurt us, but they don't understand emotion, you know, too much anymore. And that's why they might not have been the best experiences. And there's stories of the government abducting people to distill fear as well. But no, if whatever's coming from over there, they're love, I promise. They're love and beautiful things. But yeah, you can always say that guide. And then, yeah, one more time, it's nickeaglemystic.com. I have a welcome guide at my website. Go through that. Follow me on social media. I have a good X account, and I post amazing videos almost every day on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. And again, my enlightenment protocol is there. Go through that. It's such good stuff. I put so much work into this. It's like my gift to you. A page on Kundalini if you want to learn more about that. I dried a wet sheet in freezing temperatures on the mountain back here and documented a full chakra Kundalini awakening when I did it, like the monks do in Tibet, in the Himalayas. I did that. I think I was the first American to do that, especially here and documented and everything. Next step for me is to hook my brain up to an EKG to prove that the states that I'm going into. I'm quite certain I'm going to be the first person to document staying in hypergamma. They brought a monk here from the Himalayas to Wisconsin, and he briefly went to Hypergamma, but he didn't stay there. I think I'm quite certain that I stay there and possibly Lambda brave wave states when I'm inducing one of these full chakra Kundalini awakenings. So that's my next demonstration. I want to prove that and show the world just what we are, and that this isn't a show, and the places that we can all go if we put in that effort and take immaculate care of ourselves.
Right on.
Right on, Master Nick Eagle. Thank you very much for your time on this wonderful Thursday, I think.
Yeah, this has been fun. Thanks, buddy.
Don't ask me the day.
Yeah, I'm getting there myself. Thank you.
That's good. That's self-mastery. I'm so proud of myself when I forget my birth date and the year. No, that's self. You don't want that up there.
But you still got to the interview, so we appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I put it all in the calendar. I look at the time, but I don't look at the date or the day or the year. But yeah, my thing's on my calendar. I'm always organized. I have the highest form of respect for everybody's time and energy. So everything's in the calendar. I don't miss appointments.
Awesome. Thanks, buddy. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Have a great rest of your day and come back anytime.
Sat Nam.
And that was our chat with Master Nick Eagle, the Golden Laws of Enlightenment. Oh, that was a fun one. That was all a whirlwind in some ways.
That was great, yeah.
I mean, I had no idea about any of it. So that was just like, that was great. I mean, that's the best part about coming in cold sometimes. Is I just get like, whoa, what are we talking about here? Gigolo. Anyway, fantastic chat. Big thanks to Master Nick for coming on the show. Big thanks to you guys for listening. Even bigger thanks for the people who listen live and gave us some super chats, and the people that support in the background on a monthly, or they do one-time donations and allow us to live this life where we can forget what day it is of the week sometimes and not, you know, not starve, hopefully. And thanks to guys like Cody and Tony there in the chats. I've seen Timmy in there as well. He's a big supporter. We love you guys. We appreciate you. If you want to join the ranks of these wonderful people, become one of the nobles of Grimerica, head over to grimerica.ca/support today and sign up for a monthly or make a one-time donation. Otherwise, we're just going to get an AI robot to start doing the interviews. That'll be it. Just kidding. Check out grimericaoutloud.ca for the podcast. Contact @thecabin.com for trips and events. Adultbrain.ca for all the audiobooks and all that great stuff over there. Other than that, love you guys. Thanks for listening. And we will see you next week.
Somehow I built a rocket ship out of the stuff dreams are made and popsicle sticks. Please look at my rocket ship schematics. Tell me it can fly to the moon. Tell me I'm not a lunatic. I bet you think I'm the space cadet. I bet you think I'm the space cadet. No regret, I do not fret, 'cause I am a space cadet. In my hands I have a gas can and matchsticks. This earth is my home, but I need a vacation from all the sadness, the chaos, and dramatics. I'll let you do the countdown, 3, 2, 1, no hesitation. I bet, I bet, I bet.